B-Pod Studios.
I'm wondering how much did having those 3 days to himself for Mac Jones help him beat out Cam for that position?
Yeah, I don't know.
And just a quick follow-up, did Cam's vaccination status have anything to do with him being released?
No. No, I mean, look, you guys keep talking about that, and, you know, I would just point out that I don't know what the number is. I mean, you guys can look it up. You have the access to a lot of information, but the number of players and coaches and staff members that have, you know, been infected by COVID in this training camp who have been vaccinated is a pretty high number.
Zolak and Bertrand, it's Hardy in for Beetle, Paul Perillo in for Zolak, and Christian Arcan on this Friday morning. Paulie Paul, we're going to get you some new headphones. All right?
Sounds good.
All right. We'll get Paul some new headphones. We'll get rolling here. We just heard Bill Belichick from his press conference a couple of days ago when he was asked about the vaccination status of Cam Newton, and he said, no, there's actually people who are vaccinated who have been infected, and those are pretty high numbers. Well, that isn't necessarily the case, but something happened. I think we can all agree, Paul, something happened at some point that caused Bill to say Cam Newton is going to be released now after being treated as the starter. I say all the way back to the time they signed him last winter, and something happened leading up to his release earlier this week. First of all, how surprised were you at the release?
I mean, you know, from talking to us Sunday night when we wrapped up our preseason finale, yeah, I was very surprised. I did not envision anything but Cam Newton starting the season based on the way that Bill Belichick had conducted business throughout the preseason right down to that night, you know, starting Cam Newton and giving him the cameo, you know, the starter treatment. So, yeah, I was surprised the way it came out now. I think it's the right move because I felt all along that Mac Jones was the better option based on what we had seen all summer long. So I think in that regard, not that surprised that he saw things the same way that most of us saw. I just felt like he was doing it a little bit differently. In terms of what happened, I kind of agree with you. And it's something that we talked about with Fred, you know, our illustrious boss, Fred Kirsch. We both agreed, you know, it just feels like something happened between Sunday and Tuesday that changed Belichick's course of action. I don't know what it was. I don't know exactly if there was some kind of altercation. I don't know if it was as simple as, you know, him just deciding it was Mac Jones and Cam not taking it well. But I wholeheartedly agree with the fact that if you're not going to play Cam Newton, if he's not going to be the starter, then I just assume cut ties altogether. Make a fresh start for Mac Jones, not have him look over his shoulder. And I think Brian Hoyer and, you know, any other veteran that they can bring in here is a backup option that is at least as palatable as Cam.
By the way, it's Finish Strong Friday. So we do this every Friday, presented by 128 Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric, celebrating 29 years of finishing every job strong, growing and hiring licensed plumbers and HVAC techs who can finish every job strong. Apply now at call128.com. As we look at this, there's a few different factors. Number one, you said that Mac looked like he was the better option throughout camp. And I know what you're saying, but it wasn't consistently every single day. There were days where Cam looked better than Mac. A couple.
Yeah, there were a couple, not many. I thought for the most part, and certainly in the aggregate, Mac was better than Cam. But yes. I also would stress, to your point, Hardy, that I don't think this was a slam dunk. I don't think that Mac was head and shoulders better than Cam.
That's what I think Zoe and I disagreed on, and what I believed. And like anyone who said Cam was going to be wrong, or Cam was going to be the starter, of course, is wrong. But where I ended up being wrong again was I said the only way it happens is if Mac is head and shoulders, obviously much better than Cam, and Cam really falls off. Well, Mac was better, but it wasn't a clear-cut, obviously, this guy is an NFL quarterback, and this guy, you know, is even worse than he was last year. Cam looked to be about the same, maybe a bit better. And Mac looked good, but it's not like he played error-free football throughout camp and the preseason. And not that it would take that, but he wasn't lights out either. No, he was good.
He was very much a rookie. I mean, he went...
A good rookie.
But he had some ups and downs. But the thing that I felt like was most impressive for Mac Jones, and I'm guessing that the coaching staff agreed, was that it was a consistent improvement. It was things that we saw that he struggled with at times. The next time he got a chance to do the same kinds of things, he was much better at them. And I think that they were probably impressed by that. You know, there were probably some things that they couldn't do offensively last year with Cam Newton, right? And they probably know what those are. And I don't know exactly what all the intricacies of the playbook and the game plans are, but it seemed to me that there were things that they couldn't keep doing with Cam Newton that still appeared to be a problem. You know, the short passing game the Patriots relied upon so much over the years is not Cam Newton's forte. He's not an accurate thrower. And Mac Jones is. And I think that was one major plus. And like I said, I feel like Mac showed the ability to sort of put bad periods of play behind him pretty quickly. And I think that's a good trait for a young guy, because there are going to be some ups and downs, and he's going to need to put those behind him quickly.
You're welcome to join us here, 617-779-0985. Still something happened, because Cam was being treated as the starter, and from the time they signed him, even through the draft, because there's always going to be revisionist history on this stuff, and people are saying, like, well, Bill knew that he just needed a veteran there, and he needed a placeholder, and he's going to get a quarterback in the draft. I said, whoa. There was no indication that Mac Jones was going to be available at 15. Hell, on draft night, there were people talking about the Patriots getting a linebacker instead of a quarterback.
Well, there was other positions that were taken ahead of where they picked at 15 that I think it would be an interesting call to see what they would have done.
Right. And I believe it was their plan all along, starting back to when they re-signed him, that it was going to be Cam. And it's the way he was treated throughout camp. It was the way he was treated right through that Sunday night game 5 days ago.
Right, and that's the part of it, Hardy, that I struggle with, because I feel like if it was part of some grand plan, like, well, Mac Jones is trending to be the starter. He's on the rise. And does it make sense the way that they treated the preseason? Like, not really giving him many opportunities to go against starting defenses and playing with. I mean, he did play with the ones at times in practice, but he didn't get to start any of the preseason games. I'm not a huge believer in the preseason games, as you know, contrary to what I might say during the preseason broadcasts, which are outstanding, by the way. Okay?
They're not that good.
But the preseason games themselves,
what
I don't
about
think,
the Bob's Furniture thing?
It kills.
I forget the guy who does it.
Studies show it's the highest rated portion of the program.
That guy who pops up and the insight and analysis?
Oh, you mean the cartoon Bob? Love him.
No. Yeah.
Bob is great. I need more cartoon Bob in those segments.
The guy in front of him. I forget his name, but he's good.
He's good. He's good. He's sharp. He's sharp.
Sharp looking, too.
Yeah, Hardy was all over my looks all season.
I try and give the guy a compliment. Come back in, and Paul, who seems supremely confident in all things in life,
yes,
he comes in a little sheepishly to do the post-game show for Patriots.com with that kind of look that's like, hey, guys, how'd you think I did? Not asking, but kind of asking with his eyes.
Right.
And I would tell him, I said, Paul, you did great, and you looked really good. And I told him that a couple of times. He thought I was busting his balls, but I thought he looked good on the TV set. That's all.
Not used to compliments, Paul.
You busted him a little bit.
A little bit. And you're a little out of line yourself.
A little bit. You're a little out of line.
All right. But.
But anyway, you know that I'm not a huge believer in the barometer that is the competition of a preseason game. But
right.
Could Mac Jones not have benefited a little bit by sort of entering the locker room and saying, hey, tonight I'm starting this game. I'm going to lead the team out of the tunnel, and then they're going to kick off, and we're going to get the ball, and I'm going to lead the first drive.
You mean prior to the first game of the regular season?
Yes, like that. That's what
on national television against the Dolphins.
That's
part
of the thing that I'm struggling. And this is a head coach, and believe me, being around for 20 plus years, I've seen this guy do so many things that are ridiculously impressive. Bill Belichick, right? No. So when he talks about things like, well, we're going to practice in the stadium, it's good to get the process down. You know, you know, for the young guys to see the play clock and understand, like, the most minute details that he makes to be important, right? So if the quarterback center exchange and the play clock and in that kind of environment is important to practice in, it's not important to have a starter start a game before he actually begins his career?
I would think so. I would think that would be something they would want to.
Why I think something happened.
What happened?
I don't know.
What happened?
What happened?
I don't know.
Something happened. Everyone laughed at me when I said something happened.
Something happened.
But something happened.
I don't know that it's something happened to the degree that we think something happened with Malcolm Butler. It's like, ooh, something happened.
I'm not saying anything untoward.
But
I think something happened.
Something happened to
Bert Breer said he was just sick. Remember? That was all.
He
explained it.
We asked tongue-in-cheek Bert when Malcolm Butler, you know, the news came out a couple of days ago that he was contemplating retirement due to personal reasons.
Oh, really?
And I asked Bert, I'm like, Bert, two questions on Malcolm Butler. Have you heard anything? And also, why didn't he play in the Super Bowl? I said, feel free to answer the second part first. He goes, well, what I heard about what he wasn't able to play in the Super Bowl, I said, oh, crap, you're actually going to answer.
We all buckled up.
And his answer was he was sick and didn't get a chance to practice, and they felt he wasn't ready, like, up to game speed.
That is the company line.
For the start. I'm like, no, no.
That's not
what I wanted.
And I'm a little surprised that Bert would, because he usually, you know, has no problems sort of digging beneath the surface a little bit. But that is the story that, you know, he missed practice time. He wasn't ready. Yeah, that doesn't really explain why he was one of the actives and then didn't play in the game.
Yeah,
and was crying his eyes out during the national
anthem. And that's exactly what Bert said. He was kind of laughing. He goes, now that doesn't explain why he was in uniform, on the sideline, and in tears.
Right.
That last part is telling. But, well, we weren't really asking him that anyway. All right.
But you know what I think we might have to wait for Cam Newton and what happened is one of his, you know, at least his version of what happened anyway. Mm. I don't know if that will be the accurate one, but the next time he sits down, what is it? What's the cigar thing?
Oh, sips and smokes.
Yeah.
The next time he's on Brandon Marshall's podcast.
The next time he's on one of those, I'm sure he's going to give you his version. I don't know if that'll be the version.
It'll be something.
It'll be something more than we have now.
And I tell you what, for all the time that he was here, that he was frustrating, and, you know, the vaccine thing and missing those days at camp, that was frustrating for, I'm sure, the coach and Patriots fans. But he was more than willing to talk. Post-game press conferences, you know, away from the team. He's a guy who told you things, and that part will be missed because we don't have a lot of that in Foxborough.
I would imagine if we ever get Newton's side of this, it's going to be, I was blindsided. I thought I was going to be the starter. I was told every step of the way, you're going to be the starter, you're the starting quarterback, etc. We had the misunderstanding, but even after that, they slotted me right back in as the starting quarterback, and then the day of cutdowns, they cut me, and I don't know why. That's probably going to be what his side of this is.
There's got to be. I mean, no one believes, though, that he was treated like, an undrafted rookie, and just somebody showed up and said, bring your playbook, come see Bill. As Zoe talked about yesterday or the day before, you know, veterans and guys like Cam are treated differently. They'll often be stopped before they go into the locker room and say, you know, we got to go talk. So you don't have that embarrassment of going in, saying hi to everybody, and then have someone grab you by the elbow and lead you out of there.
Right.
So I think, you know, if Cam says he doesn't know why, that I won't believe. I'm sure there was a conversation. There had to have been a conversation because he was the starter, and then he wasn't.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to talk about Mac Jones a little bit more here with Paul Perillo and with you, 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports in Boston. You talk to these guys.
I'm just going
to
say something quick. If you want to get everything, just go see Big Al and Reveal.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bill, when did Mac earn the job? And for you, what solidified him earning it?
Yeah, again, I'm not going to go into details of decisions and the timing and all that. I mean, we'd be here forever. So, you know, it's a process. It was, you know, very competitive situation at that position. And, you know, both players took, you know, pretty close to an equal number of repetitions in total, you know, between practice, games, going all the way back to the spring. So that's what it was.
Interesting that he brought up same number of repetitions in game. Mike Dussault from Patriots.com, who we do the pre and post with, brought up a very good point in our last shows together on Sunday. You look surprised. Are you surprised that Dussault had a good point, or surprised that I was listening to him?
Both.
Okay.
But especially the first part, that Dussault had a good point.
He said if Cam does get, and it was kind of silly to think that Cam was going to get cut. You know, if Cam were to get cut, Deuce said, like, he would have a case that he really didn't get. He didn't have a fair shot.
Yeah.
And we looked at the numbers yesterday. Josh on our simulcast posted them up, and maybe he has quick access to them again. The number of you know, snaps in preseason games, and I know joint practices and all this stuff. Okay, but just in the games.
It was like 3-1.
Do you know how many pass attempts Cam Newton had in those three games?
Just pass attempts? Oh, I don't know. 15?
Yeah, it was like 20 or 21.
Yeah.
And it's three times the number. Now, every other number across the board in terms of completion percentage, here it is. Cam was 14 of 20. Thank you, Josh. Cam was 14 of 21 in the three preseason games. Mac Jones, 36 of 52. Their completion percentage, very close. Cam at 2/3. Mac a little bit higher at 69.2%. Yards per attempt, 7.7 for Cam, 7.5 for Mac. They each threw one touchdown pass. Mac had one pick. Mac didn't have any picks.
Cam had one pick.
Cam had one pick, excuse me. And the snaps, it's three. It's almost by a factor of three. 38 snaps for Cam Newton, 107 for Mac Jones.
Right.
So Cam could have a.
And we did. We brought that up sort of tongue in cheek in the post game because it just seemed like everything was pointing to that he's getting the starter treatment. He's starting the games. He's getting a cameo. He's coming out. He's putting the towel on his head. He's having fun on the sideline. Who knows? Maybe some of that was part of what Belichick didn't like. The amount of, you know, fun that, you know, the balls with the fans in Philadelphia. There was some reports that some of the coaches weren't happy with, and they had told him to stop, and he didn't. And, you know, the high five and stuff with Mac Jones. Maybe all of that stuff played a factor. Like, is this really the guy? Is he serious enough and committed? I don't know. But something seemed to change, and I still get back to that because I don't know why you would give Cam Newton so little opportunity to sort of win the job.
Yeah. We should mention this before we go any further. I should have done it at the top of the show. We got news this morning that David Patton passed away.
Just awful.
At the age of 47. No official reports. Someone on Twitter claiming to be his cousin said it could have been in some type of vehicle accident. But that is...
Richard Seymour tweet, you know, was the one that caught my attention. And, you know, just, you know, prayer hands and whatnot. I don't have the tweet up in front of me. But, you know, real big part of those teams, Hardy. You know, those first three Super Bowl teams, yep. Especially the first couple, he was really a big part. And, you know, a lot of people like to say now, the Patriots offense with Tom Brady, other than when Randy Moss was here, was always like the dink and dunk, and they never really worried about the deep threat and all that stuff. And most of that is true for the most part. David Patton stretched the field. David Patton performed a really important role in that offense. He was a guy that kept defenses honest. He made some big plays. He didn't catch all the catches he had. He wasn't a one-trick pony. He wasn't just go routes and catching bombs, but he could do other things as well. But his speed was a big part of what they were able to do underneath. He carved out a lot of space for the backs underneath and for Troy Brown, and just a real professional guy in the locker room. I didn't know him well, even though I covered him for those years. I'm not going to pretend to have known him really well, but always enjoyed talking to him. Very pleasant very pleasant guy. It was really came across to me as a pretty spiritual guy. No one wants to see guys passing away that young. So yeah. Really tragic story.
Very sad. A lot of condolences coming out, not only from, Patriots fans, but he also spent time with the Redskins and the Browns,
Cleveland, the Giants, Saints. He spent some time with. Yeah, the Saints after the Patriots.
Yeah. Game. So, and then Zach Cox tweeted this out, just in the 2001 playoffs, David Patton, his stats, 8 catches for 107 yards in the Snow Bowl. So 8 catches in the Snow Bowl alone. And again, we look at those, we see some of the highlights.
Get Wiggy going. Wiggy had 10 in that game.
Wiggy was fantastic in that game. Vinatieri, obviously.
Yeah.
David Patton, huge in that game. Mm. The only offensive touchdown in the AFC Championship game. And
who threw that one?
In the AFC Championship game?
Yeah.
Number 11?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, Bledsoe
beautiful
threw
catch
a
in the back of the end zone.
Yeah, in the AFC Championship.
Bledsoe threw that touchdown to him in pretty much a very similar kind of play. First offensive touchdown in the Super Bowl from Brady to Patton at the end of the first half.
Right. Yep. And the only offensive touchdown in that game.
Patton could really jump. He wasn't a big guy, but he could really jump. He made some big leaping catches in the back of that end zone.
The only Patriots offensive touchdown. Is that right?
Yeah,
that's the only one.
Ty Law pick 6.
That's it?
Right? And then they had a couple of field goals.
Oh, my God.
20-17? I'm getting that right, right?
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Well, rest in peace, David Patton. Very sad. A lot of people want to weigh in on that today, I'm sure.
Underrated piece to those great teams of the early part of the dynasty.
Yeah, so my apologies for not getting that right away here this morning, but I was kind of waiting for some more information on it and a couple of confirmations. It was just, Beetle was the first one who told me about it this morning, but it was relatively, and apparently it did happen yesterday. Let's go to Dave in the car. Dave, you're on with Hardy and Perillo and Arcan here on Zolak and Bertram. What's up, Dave?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Yeah, so, I listened to you this morning, and I agree that something probably happened, but I don't think it was a big thing, because considering how outspoken Cam is and, his like to be on social media and his podcast, I think he would have said something if it was sort of a big thing, whether it was, the vaccination or something like that. I think it was just he played himself out of the position. Bill, I think, really wanted him to be the starter. He was giving him the opportunities, and if when him and Mac together and basically playing the same, you got a veteran who should be playing better compared to a rookie who's just getting started. You'd expect Cam to kind of put up better numbers and to be kind of perform better. And with all the antics and just kind of the way he's going about things, like I'm number one, I'm the starter, kind of, that stuff rubs Bill the wrong way. So I think they kind of just had enough of him.
But all that was known going in, or most of that was known
part
going
of that in.
In
the middle, I strongly agree with, and that was when he said Cam kind of played himself out of the job, and Bill, I think, wanted him to be the starter, but he just never really played to the level to sort of reward Bill's trust.
Yeah,
because Bill seemed to be the only one that really had the belief in him, and then I don't think he really showed the progression from last year. Like all the excuses, remember the excuse train? It was signed late, no real training camp, no preseason, got COVID, the offense changed, no weapons. I mean, you name it, there was a reason that Cam was bad last year that had nothing to do with Cam. And then he came back and had a regular offseason, had a training camp, had a preseason, and had improved weapons, and we saw basically the same guy.
And according to Bill,
he kind of missed time for protocols, but wasn't sick.
But according to Bill, in the press conference he had 30 minutes before we found out he was released, he came into camp at a higher level than he had played at last year.
Yeah, I'm sure he did, but it wasn't discernibly higher.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Of course not.
I'm sure there were things that he did better this summer than he did last fall.
Yes.
But it wasn't to the extent that would say, oh, now he's a viable option.
Right, right.
And I think that guy was right. I think the caller was right. I think Bill wanted him to be the starter, and that's probably what changed is that he just got to a point where he just said, he's not really worthy of being the starter.
Well, this leads to a three-tiered answer that you're going to have to provide.
Uh-oh.
All right? Mac Jones won the job. Let's say it's based on three categories. Performance, availability, and his ceiling. I want you to rank them in order of why, not now. Paul, take time to think about it.
Okay.
I want you to noodle
on
this.
You know me better than that.
I want you to noodle on it.
I think about nothing.
But if Mac won the job based on the three categories of his ability, his availability, and his ceiling, rank those in order of importance. Okay? And we'll do that when we come back. Also, Bruce has a good story about David Patton that he wants to share with us. So we'll do all that next after Kristen Arkan's Hub Headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub. Zoe and Beetle. Working to keep you up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
smelled it.
You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Are you ready, Steve? Uh-huh. Andy? Yeah. Chip. Okay. Paul, you got to do something with the... Oh, my God.
Captain Video?
No. Oh, my God. Are those the ones that Maz used to wear with the huge headband that sticks up? Wow. Those are bizarre.
I'm connecting to the mothership. Quiet, please.
You've got a thing that goes like 4 inches over your head.
But the good news is I can hear what you say.
Yeah. And by the way, just because I'm not as vocal about this song as Zoe is, doesn't mean I want you to play it now.
It's our 10:39 song every day.
Oh, no. She's the passionate one.
Oh, yeah.
Paul looks like the Great Gazoo.
That's what I said. I'm connected to the mothership. I can see my shadow.
Alien showing up.
Marty, I might have to go with yours after the next break.
Yeah. Alien showing up in sitcoms is something that's been going on forever. You know, Mork first showed up in an episode of
Happy Days.
See, Perillo knows everything.
Are you kidding
me? I knew that one.
But the Great Gazoo showed up in wasn't the Flintstones like a primetime sitcom?
Yes, the Flintstones.
So yeah, they had an alien show up in the prehistoric Stone Age. It's not a new thing.
Hello, Dum Dum.
And I rather enjoyed those episodes.
Flintstones was a solid show.
It's a good show. Barney Rubble.
What an actor.
Oh, let's go to Bruce. Bruce has a good story about David Patton, who passed away yesterday. We're learning
now
today.
Now we're joking, and we're going to segue to that.
And thanks. So, no, because I think this is a fun story that he has with him of when he spoke with him once. At least I hope it's a fun story. Bruce, what do you have on David Patton?
Hi, guys. Great show, and thanks for taking my call. I had the real honor of spending a lot of time with David just this past weekend at an autograph show for Boston Sports and Music in Bedford, and he couldn't have been more gracious, more humble. One of you mentioned that he was he seemed like a real spiritual guy. That came across. He brought his teenage son with him, who seemed to really enjoy seeing his dad signing autographs. And I do want to mention a couple of things that really stood out to me, and they are fun stories. At one point, David was signing photos of that Super Bowl 36 catch, and he was inscribing it, Brady's first Super Bowl touchdown. And I asked David, I said, you know, David, do you still have that ball? Do you own that? And he kind of looked at me kind of surprised, and he was like, yeah, like it had just occurred to him that he still owns it. And I said, you know, that's probably a $1 million ball. And the look on his face of shock and like, oh, my God, like the light bulb went off. And he turns to his teenage son and he says, where's that ball? And his teenage son just started covering his mouth and laughing. He goes, I think it's in the attic in a bag of balls. Oh. And David, the look of terror on David's face, he goes, we need to find that.
I thought he was going to say, I used that when I played pickup outside.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a sandlot, you know.
Touch.
But the other one that I want to share is I asked him, and I got it on video. I have the audio of it and everything. I can probably send it to you guys. I asked him, you know, what's the highlight of your, you know, professional career, you know, maybe with the Patriots? And he said, and I thought he was going to say, you know, the Super Bowl catch or the AFC championship or that game. I don't know if you guys remember, but he caught, passed, and ran for a touchdown against the Colts all in one game.
Yeah.
And I thought that was going to be his answer. And he said, no. And I suggested it. I almost like was giving it to him. And he's like, no, that wasn't it. He said there was a game against Washington or KC. He was a little fuzzy on it. He goes, and I ran a crossing route, and Tom threw the ball way behind me. And he said, damn, Tom, you missed me. And he goes, I just stuck my hand out behind me, and it stuck to my hand. He said, unbelievable. The thing just stuck to my hand. He said, I stopped, crossed the other way, and ran for 60-yard touchdown. He goes, that's my favorite moment, hands down my favorite moment of my career. And, you know, he was, as I said, he couldn't have been more gracious and warm and welcoming and friendly. And these were stories he was sharing with everybody there.
Yeah.
So I just want to express my, you know, sincere condolences to the Patton family and say how, you know, what a horrible loss this is.
Yeah, Bruce, great stories. Thank you for sharing them with us. And nice that you got to spend time with him just this past weekend. I know a lot of people got a chance to meet him and see him here. Sean McElroy here from the Sports Hub, he's got a photo with him here just recently. So, I mean, there, you know, he was out there and obviously, you know, more than willing to share some of those great Patriots memories with people.
Very sad loss. I'm trying to think of that one-handed crossing route now off the top of my head. You know, I'm thinking maybe Kansas City, but in 02.
Oh, wow. But, okay.
I'm not positive on that. I'm going to do some research on that.
Yeah. David Patton has passed away. Maybe from a vehicle accident of some kind. And I believe it did happen yesterday, but we're just finding out this morning. So, Paul, did you have a chance to think about your three-tiered answer? Because we have calls about this. I'm getting tweets about it. Mac Jones going to get the start.
Ability, availability.
Ceiling. So when the decision was made, for whatever reason, whether something happened or not, we're going to go with Mac. And let's say it was based on those three things. Where would you rank them in order of importance?
I'm going to go 3-1-2.
Wow.
I think his ceiling, you know, I think a few of the callers have already said it. They felt like, well, if he was even with Cam Newton, then why wouldn't you just play Mac Jones? He's going to get better. I agree. I think the ceiling is higher. So that's one. His ability, you know, is obvious. Like it's not like, well, we think he can get to a certain level, but now he's down in the basement. He's terrible. No, I don't think that. I think he showed an ability that was warranted some playing time right away. And then availability, you know, I think that was, I think there's an element of the vaccine that's in play in terms of Cam missing that time. I think that gave Mac Jones an opportunity to run the show by himself for 3 days. And he showed the coaches, yeah, he could do this. I think that was an opportunity that was afforded him because he was available.
Okay.
So I'm not going to dismiss that as a possibility, I would put it third in line.
And forget about the availability for the season. His availability in the weeks leading up to it, the week leading up to it.
Why he won the job.
Yeah, is part of probably why he won the job. I would put ability first. I would just say, who's going to give you the best chance to win week one, to win the first game of the season? And I don't think about it, you know, long term. I don't have to. I'm not the GM. I'm not the owner. Who's going to give you the best chance to win week one? It's probably the same guy for weeks two and beyond. So that would be my first order of business. Number two for me is the availability, though, because I want to pick a guy who is more likely to be there each and every week. If he's going to be the guy and he's better than the other guy, is he going to be around? Yes. I can't say the same for Cam if he is going to be subjected to the same rigorous COVID protocols for unvaccinated players for the rest of the season. The ceiling for me is third. I'll worry about that down the road.
So you don't think he's got much of a future? Okay, Hardy. not sold on the 15th overall selection.
I think he has a tremendous ceiling, but that does not factor into my week one decision. Nope.
That's what happens when you go on the shows on NBC Sports Boston. You know, you'll say something in passing, and then the next morning you'll wake up, Perillo colon, Hardy stinks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? I don't remember saying that like that.
The little.
I was definitely thinking it, but I don't remember saying it.
Yeah, the little headline, and then you play the 2-minute clip, and then you're like, oh.
And I start to think, am I going to get in trouble for that? Like, oh, boy.
I've gotten in trouble on a couple of things. I'd rather not talk about it. Instead, I'd rather step aside, get to the rest of your calls, also talk about Stephon Gilmore on the pup list. More on that with Paul Perillo coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds.
What do I?
I'm talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ready to pitch. It's the end around. Coming to David Patton to the 30. Painting right to the 25, 20. He's 15, 10, 5. In. Touchdown. David Patton. An end around on the first play from scrimmage for the Patriots, and they jump out on top, and the crowd in Indianapolis is stunned. Brady, back to throw, looks, shoots it long and deep, and caught at the 50-40, going all the way for a touchdown. David Patton, 81-yard touchdown pass. It's a quick screen to the left, and Patton's going to throw the football, shoots it long and deep. Troy Brown, he's got it, he's in, touchdown. Hand off to no one. Play action fake to the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, David Patton! His fourth touchdown of the game. Brady quick drop back. Rolls to his right. Pump fakes. Now looks. Now throws to the right. It is caught at the 40-yard line of the Buffalo Bills, and a fumble on the play.
There was a catch. The ball was fumbled. However, while the receiver's head was touching out of bounds, he was in contact with the ball, making that out of bounds. New England will keep the ball.
All right.
41-yard.
That's what I was wondering. Break. Bledsoe out of a shotgun. Redmond to his left in the backfield. In motion left to right is Charles Johnson. Direct snap to Drew. Back to throw. Looks. Fires. Open. Touchdown! Touchdown by Drew Bledsoe. His first touchdown pass of the season here in the AFC Championship game. Completed in the far corner of the end zone to David Patton. Redmond is the running back offset right. Slot to the near side left, Troy Brown. Patton to the far side right. Brady first and goal. St. Louis 8-yard line. Brady drops back to throw. Looks. Fires right. Touchdown, David Patton! Touchdown, David Patton! 8-yard touchdown pass from Tom Brady.
What'd I tell you?
31 seconds to go in the half, and the Pats score their second touchdown of the second quarter.
The Gil Santos call, touchdown David Patton. I think that's the one that kind of rings through people's ears the most. But David Patton telling the story to Bruce, who called in a few minutes ago, about his favorite play in the NFL, about, you know, he's going out for a pass, and Tom threw it, and he's thinking to himself, man, Tom, you missed me. And then I reached my hand back, and it just stuck to my hand, and I turned, and I ran it in for a touchdown. Paul Perillo, sitting here a couple of minutes ago, says, I think that was 0-2, maybe against Kansas City. Like, okay, whatever, Paul. Arcan looks it up. Arcan, when was it?
2002.
Against?
The Kansas City Chiefs.
What's the matter with you?
Oh, but can I just defend myself a little bit? Bruce was the caller, right?
Yeah.
That had the stories. He did mention that he thought it was either Kansas City or somebody else.
Oh, I didn't. Okay.
All right. So I got the year, which, I mean, Patton played, I mean, at least 4 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I got the year right, but I was on Kansas City in my head because of what Bruce said.
But you remember.
So can I defend myself a little bit not being a freak?
You're still a bit of a freak.
Yeah.
You remembered the play.
If only I could use this for good.
It is a great play, too. It's exactly how David Patton described it to our caller there, yep, and how it looks. It's like it looks like Brady missed him a little bit. He stuck his right hand out, the trailing hand, and it stuck to his hand, and he turned and ran. It wasn't 60. It looks 50. 40 yards, maybe.
Yeah. And it's an in cut that's thrown behind him, and it makes him almost stop as he catches it with one hand, and he goes back the way he originally came
from.
Yeah,
he spins around and just burns
the guy. It's really kind of an incredible athletic feat that he just spins around and untouched goes poof.
So, if you have more memories or thoughts on David Patton today, who has passed away, you're welcome to share them with us here. 617-779-0985. I want to talk about Stephon Gilmore here for a minute. This was something else I was wrong about. I'm like, they'll figure it out. They'll get him on the field for week one. They did not figure it out. Well, no. Paul, that injury, that's a nagging one. And the recovery from this surgery is taking a lot.
Why do you do this to me?
It's taking a lot longer than I had anticipated. He's going to need minimum 6 more weeks as he goes on the PUP list.
Yeah, I was very, very wrong about Cam Newton, much like most everybody else. But I will say I had a pretty accurate vision of this Stephon Gilmore thing. Unfortunately, a lot of people were saying this is going to get done. This is not a big deal. The sides are not that far apart. It seems, I felt like there was a substantial difference when Gilmore started tweeting about the top 10 paid cornerbacks, and they were around $16 million, and he's scheduled to earn somewhere between 7 and 8. That's a big gap.
Not counting the money he was fronted last year,
right? You don't count that because that's what he got last year, and I knew what he was looking for was around what those top paid cornerbacks are getting. And especially, then he comes out with that tweet to Josina Anderson, and she asks him specifically, are you ready to go? Will you be ready for training camp? And he said, I will if I need to be. Well, that's telling you right there what his plan was.
Yeah.
This is what he planned to do back in June or whenever it was that he had that. I think it was the last time I was in with you that we got that Josina Anderson
Probably.
Comment. I think you and I were on the show together when that came out.
Yeah, and the fact that he was there at camp, people wanted to take that as a positive sign, but all that meant was he didn't want to be dinged the $50,000 a day or whatever it is.
All that meant to me was he figured out how to do this without getting fined. He figured it out that day.
Players liked having him around. Coach Steph, they were calling him, all this stuff, and all the while the plan was to... No, just...
And he is around. I've seen him several times. That part is true. He's around. He's holding... I think Felger uses the term, it's a hold-in.
Yes.
That's what he's doing.
It's a hold-in.
That's what he's doing.
Yeah, he's around. I'm here. I'll play. Just got to pay me.
Why was the reporting on this so wrong? Why was everybody who talked about this from the beginning of camp until about a week ago saying it was all very friendly, it's all very amicable, don't worry about it, don't freak out, they're going to come together and they're going to agree on this, it's just a matter of time. Why was everybody so steadfast about that? Like it was just inevitable. And now here we are. Like why did it go that way?
Yeah, Paul, why is that?
I always joke with Hardy because he loves to bring up things that other people report and... A lot of these people are my friends, okay?
Right.
They're colleagues, but some of them...
For them.
Right. And he loves to put me in situations where I'm like, because they dropped the ball. I don't know.
But it wasn't just one or two people. It was everybody. And I imagine and I they got it from the team.
I'm not going to point fingers at anybody because, first of all, what we do is not easy. And when you do it for the Patriots, it's particularly difficult because you get so little information that's concrete, okay? So that's my disclaimer to say I'm sorry, everybody, for what I'm about to say.
But once again, I am sickened by your reporting on this story.
That's not what I was going to say.
All due respect.
Do you feel a little sick to your stomach?
I feel like, in general terms, the reporting in this town has gotten very team-friendly across the board. For all teams.
This is coming from a team employee, my dear.
Correct. This is the irony of it.
Big thing for him to say, honestly.
I feel like I work for the team. I have worked for the team for 23 years. This is my whole life. This is my career has been working for the team. And I can sit back and I can say, wow, some of the coverage this town is awfully friendly to the team. So you can take from that whatever you want. But I felt like from talking to some people in the building... Throughout the offseason, I didn't think this was going to be easy. And I know that the people that are reporting on it are talking to the same people that I do. It's not like I had access to people that other people didn't. I know that for a fact was not true. So I do feel like it's kind of like what you want to happen. Oh, yeah, you know, and Steph is a pretty accessible guy. I know. I think Steph would have been more than happy to come back if he got the money he wanted.
Sure. It comes off to me as though the team expected this to go much smoother, and it didn't.
Yeah, I think that the problem from the team perspective is they didn't want to give the money without seeing him on the field, you know, showing that he's 100% ready to play at a high level.
Right.
Like, they feel like if this was about Gilmore in 2019, no-brainer. We'll give him the money.
Yeah.
But now he...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.